So since God is good, and since there's no one else is good but God, Jesus says, no one else is good but God. If no one else is good but God, you can't be good. But you are good, miraculously, because when Jesus died, you died. When he rose, you rose. When he reigns, you reigns. So it's all over for us, as far as heaven is concerned. You can get free, but he can't. He's bound himself to his promise. So as long as you're alive, you can always jump in, jump out, whatever you want to do. There's no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, which we do, but after the Spirit. That means behavior. But actually by faith, you don't, because Jesus lived his life for you before the foundation of the world. Since he did that by faith, he lived a perfect life. That's my life. He lived what I couldn't live, being I'm imperfect. He is perfect. So since what he did cannot be improved upon, since no one else is good but God, since he included me in his life, that's my life. That's your life. All you got to do is receive it. How do you do it? Just by reading. Just by reading his word. By reading his word, you don't have to check with your emotions. You don't have to check with your mind. You don't have to check with your will. You don't have to check with any of the equipment you have by nature, because they all are not able to tell the truth. And even if they did, they couldn't stick with it. But Jesus' word, it's true. Can't change. So it's the same yesterday, today, forever. It'll never improve. What he did before the foundation of the world, before there even was a world, he cannot change it. It's fixed, permanent. It's irreparable. You can't repair it. You can't fix it. You can't modify it. You can't do anything about what he said, because he will not be gainsaid. Means you can't argue against him and win. And he will not be thwarted in his purpose. What he has purposed will come to pass just as he said. And you'll see it. You actually will see it before time ends. Before time ends, you'll see it. I don't know if I will. Old people, they may not see it. But you'll see it. Some of you will see it. And maybe I will. Depends on when he comes. And we don't know when he's coming, because he has that as a secret. But I'll tell you one thing, he comes as a thief in the night. So whenever you think it's midnight, whenever you think it looks midnight, that's kind of when he comes. But if you knew at what hour he would come, you'd be ready. I would recommend, this is just my recommendation, you kind of could be ready now. Be ready ahead of time. Because it doesn't hurt. All you have to do is believe that Jesus is good. That's all you have to do. Believe that Jesus is good. Can't lie. If he lies, he's not Jesus. He'd be a devil. So, he can't lie. It's amazing to have a God, because all the other idols are not God, that is perfect and true, and his truth sets you free. And so it's good to have a God, because the end of the universe is in God's hands, not ours. It's not ours. Because even though he hasn't come yet, when he does come, you'll get your new body and your new soul, and that'll match your new heart, and then you'll be all, you'll have integrity at that point. You'll be perfect. And you can already start today by faith. So since you can already start today, you know what? God is good. And he's good all the time. And he can never change. So he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is an amazing religion that you can believe in. Well, God is great, God is good, and that's why we can behave ourselves for no reason at all. You can just behave yourself because it's true, and that's who you are. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. If any man is in Christ, if any man is in Christ, how do you get there? Well, it's written in the book. If you believe what's written in the book, and you don't have to be smart to do this. You don't have to be clever. You don't have to want it. You don't have to understand it. Just if you just read what you say and it's not good news to you, then don't accept it. Because unless God is good, you're not going to end up anywhere. But unless God is good, but He is good. So for us, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. So the best has been saved to the last. This world will not end in a whimper. A lot of people predict that. They used to carry signs, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand," and it'll be scary, you'll all go to hell. We don't have people like that anymore. At least if we do, they're not on our streets preaching that. But, you know, it was a good idea, but it was totally built on the word repent. If repent means stop doing bad and start doing good, you can't do it. If repent means what everyone thinks it means, repent means change your mind in this direction, negative. Stop doing what's good. I mean, stop doing what's bad and start doing what's right. It doesn't mean that. It's the opposite of that. It's the opposite, diametrically opposed opposite. What does it mean? Be happy. Relax. Because everything God has said to us as a good God is good. Everything that He said to us is not for His good, it's for our good. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't require anything. He doesn't want any sacrifice, any offering. He's already satisfied with the death of Jesus. He doesn't need your atonement. He doesn't need a lamb or a goat or a turtle dove or a pigeon or anything. He's satisfied with the death of Jesus. When Jesus went home, showed him his hands, showed him his brow, shows him everything, and he said, "I'm satisfied. You did what I sent you on a mission to do, to be the Savior, the Lord, the Bridegroom. But stay here for the Bridegroom. I'm not ready for that yet." So the Bridegroom is when He comes a second time. That's ahead of us. How far? Don't know. I don't know. I just say, get ready now. It's better not to be late all the time like I am. Yeah, I am late all the time. So it's better to rehearse. If you buy a wedding dress, you know, fit it first rather than wait. And when you fit it and you get to look at it, you can see if it has any spots, any wrinkles, or any such stain, sin, problem, trouble. You can do it. So you can get ready today. Actually, by faith, you can love somebody here. You can stand up today and say, "I love you with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength. And you're my neighbor. I love you as myself." You can do that with anybody, anybody. You can do it right now. Who would like to try it? Just stand up, say that. You don't want to stand up. Just point to anybody in the room that you want to say this to. Anybody. Ah, that's good. That's a good one. Yeah, right back. Powerful. Anyone else want to try it? You can just point to anybody in the room and say, "I love you with all my heart, soul, and strength."
"Barbara, I love you with all my heart and soul."
Wow. Yeah. Amen. And strength too?
All of it.
Yeah, all of it.
"I love you with all my heart and soul."
And strength.
The strength.
Yeah. The strength is your body. It's behavior. So it's spirit, soul, and body. All three. And why is that? Because this is what the commandment says. This is the commandment under a law. We're not under a law. We're under grace. But if you were under a commandment, it would say, love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and a second one is like unto it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. So if you judge your neighbor, you'll be judged. But if you don't judge your neighbor, if you only do good for him, because God is good, He taught you to be good. As God has loved us, now it's our turn to love one another. That pleases God. That totally pleases God. You don't have to do it. You don't have to do it. You want to do it. Because that's who you are. New creation. So a new creation never harms anybody. Another, you don't wake up in the morning and think, "I'm going to do evil today, or I'm going to do something wrong today. I'd like to injure somebody. No. A lot of people do, but we don't. We say, no, I want to do your will. That's obeying your law. But since I didn't do that, skip that. I do that by faith. But I also want to love my neighbor whom I see as myself, because that's proof to the world that you didn't do it. When you love your neighbor as you love yourself, same way that you want to be loved, if you love your neighbor that way, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. And so God has that happen so that they don't see you, they actually see and hear God. God is manifested. When you do that, when you love your neighbor as you love yourself, God only sees it. Nobody else can see it. But the neighbor does, and the neighbor, when they see your good works, they will glorify your Father, which art in heaven. Not Buddha, not Hinduism, not Muslim, not any of the other religions, Judaism, whatever. They're all under the law. It's okay. Pray for them. Pray for anyone that's still under a law, because they're trying their best to be God, to do good when he's already done good. If you can't do what's already been done. If it's been done and it's perfect, you can't add to it or subtract from it. Try as you may. That's why Jesus rose from the dead. To prove, well, that's what death is all about. Nothing. Piece of cake. Jesus did that for you. He showed you that death was not the last word. Life. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. They don't see your good works in heaven. Everyone in heaven will be heavenly. But they see your good works on earth. As it is in heaven, so on earth. So on earth, you have to do this for other men to see your good works. Otherwise, they won't believe you. They don't just believe you because you're nice, because you're faking. How many know that God doesn't like nice people? He doesn't like nice people, moral people, good people, self-evident truths. He doesn't like anything that man can do. He likes what his Son gave to him on your behalf, period. So, some of you are still sinning. Some of you are still sinning. The secret sins, open sins, whatever. You're still sinning. No problem. He already prophesied that. You will still sin until the day that he comes back. You're not sinning from your heart. You're sinning from your soul and your body. But then you'll get a new soul, new body. This soul, by the way, is not only in love with Jesus, but also with your neighbor. But the body never rode on a cloud before. Has anyone here ever ridden on a cloud up until heaven? No, nobody. Nobody's ever ridden on a cloud. Nobody. You can try it, but that would be your last try. It doesn't work. Either they're coming down or going up. So that new body, this is literally the case. You will actually, he's coming back with a clouds, plural, because he's going to have all the angels with him and all that kind of stuff. So that's when every knee will bow and every tongue confess, whoa. Because the whole heavens will be opened at that moment. And people will realize, whoa, there is a Jesus. God, I didn't believe in him. I don't even know who he is. Who is that? Jesus. And they'll shrink back. So all the wicked will shrink back because they didn't behave well toward God nor toward their neighbor. The only two things you have to do, love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Nobody has ever done that. Nobody has ever done that. Nobody has ever done that. Jesus did it for you. Jesus did that for you. Now you count his life as yours. He is your righteousness. Jesus is all the righteousness you'll ever need, and it's all the righteousness you have. You don't have anything else. Because he was perfect, and he's the only one that's perfect, and so you're not going to be perfect even when you're in heaven. He calls you perfect, but you're not. It's derivative. You derive it from being in relationship to him who is. He has life in himself. The Father has life in himself. The Holy Spirit has life in himself. That life, the abundant life, which we now have by faith. You can't see it. But when he comes back, you'll see everything. You'll actually see the Lord. You'll actually see what you'll have no more hope and no more faith. They disappear. So you don't have to have faith because you see it. You don't have to have hope because you see it. It's real. But today you can't. You have to do it by faith. So faith disappears as soon as he comes back. You'll now see him as he is. It doth not yet appear. But when he appears, it doesn't appear now. But when he appears, you shall see him, for you shall see him as he is, really is, not just by faith. Because you've never seen God. Nobody's ever seen God. But you'll see him as Son of God. And he'll be called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's when every knee will bow. Wow, that's him. Get out of here. He's going to get us. But you won't be here to tell him, so you need to tell him today. But today you could tell him when he's coming back, he's going to judge all sin. If you have even one spot, one wrinkle, one stain, one blemish, one impurity, one thought, well, that's everybody, even us today. So we're doing it by faith. You don't do it in fact. De facto, you haven't yet done it, but you will when he comes back because you'll have your new body and soul. And we'll then see God face to face. You'll see Jesus face to face, Son of God, Son of Man. He'll be that way forever. But now, you're actually not a new man. You're a new man in Christ. You're a new man in Christ. You're a new man in Christ. So you'll always be that way from now on. And so you're a new creation. You're not part of the natural creation. The natural creation will actually pass away and there'll be a new Jerusalem, a new city that dominates the earth. And who will that be? Us. We'll be the new city. You don't know that. It's in the Bible. You'll actually be the new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven. It's in the last few chapters of the Bible. It says that we who are believers will actually be the new Jerusalem. In other words, we create it by being it. Because he's not working on earth and heaven. He's working on the new heaven and the new earth, spiritual. It's all spiritual. You're the thing he's working on. You're the house he's building. Wise man builds his house upon a rock. You thought that was you. Not. You're not the wise man that builds your house upon a rock. He is. And he's building you. You're his building. You're the dwelling place of God forever and ever. So that means he's in you and you're in him. And because of that relationship, it'll never, ever change. After he comes back, it'll never change. It's permanent. It's forever. That's the goodness of God. So, let's read in the second chapter of the book of Romans. Second chapter. I'm only going to read 4 verses. And this is easy because it's going to have what you do and what you don't do. The first 3 verses. Therefore, O man, Romans 2:1. Therefore, O man, so that means everybody, you are without excuse, everyone who judges. For in that in which you judge the other, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. In other words, even if you didn't do them outwardly, you did them inwardly. Because, you know, the heart is wicked above all things until you get a new heart by faith. But, verse 2, we know, we're certain, that the judgment of God is according to truth on those that practice such things. Verse 3. And this is what you're not supposed to do. O man, the one judging those practicing such things and doing them, do you think that you will escape the judgment of God? The answer is no, no, no. So those 3 things, if you judge another, you're actually judging yourself. You don't know it because he reads the heart. Only God judges the heart. Nobody knows your heart. You don't even know your heart. All you know is what you read in the Bible. You have never seen it. You don't even know where your heart is. It's the innermost bowels, whatever those are. It's the deep part of you, not here, the pump, but somewhere lower than that. It's in your very bowels of mercy. And so that bowels of mercy is your new heart. And you have mercy for everybody just because God had mercy on you. So whatever he does, we does. If he says, we says. Whatever he's up to, we're up to. And so you learn as a believer to say the words he says and do the deeds he does. How do you do them? You don't. Jesus actually does them. So if you have love, God did that. If you have joy, God does that. If you have peace, God does that. If you have mercy, if you have goodness, if you have greatness, if you have meekness and self-control, all of that are gifts of God. So you didn't do any of that. That's why men, when they see your good works, they don't thank you. They don't glorify you. They don't worship you. They give all praise. They marvel at the God in heaven that would work with such a person like you. It's like, wow, I heard God when you said that. Or I saw God when you did that. These are pagans. These are people that have never been Christian. They're not lukewarm Christians. These are pagans. When they see that, they went, wow, I saw God. When you spoke, I heard God. It's just something quickened in me. Wow, there was God. Now, this morning in the Dallas church, before the church even began, we had one man we were singing about the goodness of God. I don't think it was God was so good, but it was like that. And when we sang it, he stood up and said, wow, just as singing that song, I never saw it before, but I saw it today. It just quickened my heart. God is good. That's all there's to it. He's good. So how does that goodness of God work? He just said, I know. That's it for me. That's it. Wow, that's powerful. That was a rhema. That was it was revealed to him. So in other words, while we were singing, he was actually hearing God speaking to him. And it touched his heart. He is a Christian, but this touched his heart in a way that I never saw that before. I always sing that, but I never saw it. God is good. So that was a great testimony about God being good. Every time we preach, someone, maybe two, maybe 17, you don't really know, is touched. Otherwise, it's not God. When you preach the word of God, just say what he says and do what he does. When you do that, it actually has an impact without knowing it. You don't have to make it happen. You don't have to dress it up. You don't have to fix it. Just say what God said, and it works. That gospel still works throughout the world. People are still saved in China. They're still saved in India. They're still saved anywhere in the world. I've been to those places. They're still saved in Africa. They're saved everywhere you go. They don't know anything about it. I was in Badagry, Nigeria once, and you know where that is, Obo. That is to the west. In fact, that's where all the ships went forth that brought, there's only two places they can come from. They either come from the east side of Africa or they come from the west side of Africa. All the ships that brought African slaves all over the world came from that one on the west side. So we got all of those for South America, for the Caribbean, for America. And so that's where they traveled from. Half of them died before the voyage began. Half of them. So that's a cheap commodity that half of them will die just in going through the swamp that they had to go. I went through this swamp, by the way. You go through this swamp, and I did all of that so that I could pray on the shore as that ship took off. Anyway, why I'm telling you this is I had a meeting that night in Badagry. I met the chief of the whole area. He just has his throne right there in that very area where those slave ships took place. And I talked to him. He's just a human being. I talked to him. But when I went to the service, there were about 2,000 people gathered. I didn't know this, but 500 of those people had never been to church before. 500. All of them Muslim. All of them. And so at the end of the service, because I didn't know it, I never knew who was there. I just thought they were Christians that wanted to see a Texan or something. And so after I was done, I was tired because it was 10 o'clock. And he said, the people want you to pray for them. So I thought I was going to just general prayer. And so I said, okay, I can do that. Give a salvation prayer. So how many here are Christians? They all raised their hand. And I say, well, no, you can't just all be Christians. This is, I didn't even know who they were, but they've never saw me before and never heard anything. And all you heard is one sermon. And I guess it was good, but is it that good? That was good. Anyway, so the pastor did not tell me about the Muslim thing. He didn't tell me till afterward. He said, they all want you to pray for them. I said, okay, I'll do that. But he said, you have to do it individually. Individually, he said to the pastor, it's 10 o'clock. I'd be here at 2 o'clock. That's what they want. I'm not going to. That you can't. Are some of your people going to help or something? No, you just do it. Everyone. That's ridiculous. So I was there at 2 o'clock. Then after they left, he said, "You don't know this because I don't speak Nigerian or anything else. I didn't know who they were." And he said, "Well, 500 of them were Muslim. What? Why did they accept Jesus? Don't they know if they accept Jesus, they'll be killed or whatever? Yeah, they know it." But they wanted to accept Jesus Christ because of what you preached. God, that is amazing. I mean, I was amazed. So 500 Muslims that night received Jesus Christ. And so one of them said to me after it was all over, said, the only thing we don't have is Bibles. And so you want me to supply 500 Bibles? So we did. We went home, sent 500 Bibles. For those Muslims that would go home, and the minute they become a Christian, they're in danger. They're in danger. So don't worry about that. They know that. They know the price. So just do it. So those were 500 young people that I prayed for, and you don't know what happened. I'll bet they're a church today. I'll bet they're a church today. Because wherever you go, when the word goes forth, it accomplishes miracles. Signs and wonders. They're for outsiders, by the way. They're not for Christians. I know in the Christian church, we like to see them, so we're reminded, oh, yeah, we still have the power. Really, they're for outsiders. Miracles are not for believers. Believers, they have God. They can pray to God. God will do anything for you. Just tell him what you want. And you do it by faith. You don't have to feel it. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to do anything about it. Leave it be just as it is, perfect. And just say, God, since you don't judge behavior, you're not judging my behavior. You're only judging my faith. Since it's by faith alone, then that it counts. And so I'm not going to doubt. I'm not going to quiver. I'm not going to wiggle. I believe what I just said is true. Well, anytime you do that, because you're just quoting the Word of God. You're just saying the Word of God. Now, you can say other words, but the point is, it's built on the Bible. Anyway, if 500 Muslims can come to a meeting, never have heard of Jesus before, but they were schooled and heard about Christians coming to their country sharing the good news. They said, we want to come. That's why they came, and they all received Jesus. So you never know what happens with something like that. You'll find out later. Now, I want to read this chapter. I read the first four verses, which says, if you judge others, you'll be judged yourself. So anytime you judge others, how many here have judged other people? You just look at them and kind of like a gift of the Holy Spirit, you can judge them. He's like, wow, there's a gift right there. Critical spirit, She shouldn't be wearing that. She's a Christian. She wouldn't be phony like that. So you just judge people, just go to the airport and just sit there, and you can judge people as you just walk. They just walk by. You don't know them, but you just judge them. That man must be miserable to live with. You don't know anything about him. But you can just, and if they're pastors, they have their face kind of down. If they're pastors, they look miserable. And that's a man of God. So But if you smile, it throws you off. So this is the Bible. The verse 4 is the only one I want to read. I want to read it as a contrast to the first three verses. That if you judge another, you will be judged. Period. So don't judge another. How do you do it? By faith. Judge them, and as soon as you're done judging, say, God, don't count that. That was stupid. That was serious. I mean, I shouldn't have judged. Because you're going to do it anyway. How many know you still, sinners sin. Sinners sin. No problem. That's not a problem for God. Jesus died for that. It's all on the cross. Don't worry about it. Jesus said, if you believe my words, that after you sin, there's forgiveness. After you sin, there's forgiveness. Why? Why? Because he already paid for everybody's sin, past, present, and future. You can sin tomorrow. You haven't gotten there yet, but you can sin tomorrow. He forgives it. Just simply say, God, sorry. That wasn't right. It wasn't from my heart, but it was from my soul and my spirit. That was wrong. Boom. You're forgiven. Now you're clean. That's all that it takes to be clean until he comes back. Now, this is the next verse. This is so powerful. This is all I want to preach on. Verse 4. Or do you despise the riches of his kindness? In other words, God is kind to everybody. And the forbearance, which means don't do it. You forbear. And the long suffering. So all of those, don't despise that. Or do you despise the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and long suffering? Not knowing that the goodness of God or the kindness of God, it's very interesting how this word works. In Hebrew, the word for good is tov, T-O-V. So tov is the goodness of God. Abraham, just after he got the law, God said to him, Abraham, I want to talk to you. Anytime, now you have the law, and if you do it, you go to heaven. If you don't, you go to hell. I mean, he didn't say that, but that's what he was saying. So there's consequences. But then he said, however, I reserve this for myself. Anytime I see a sinner, anytime I see one, if I choose to, I can show mercy to anyone I want, and I can show grace to anyone I want. I can favor anyone I want. So as long as you have that proviso in your law, that anytime I want, I can do it, just like that. So he did it in Jesus Christ. Now, he didn't explain that when he did it, because they didn't know he was just one person. In Jesus Christ, if you believe on Jesus Christ, you're forgiven. That's why he says, if you believe on me and the words that I just spoke to you, you have eternal life. Aren't there any conditions to that? No, it's not a law. It's just pure grace. So anytime he wants to, he can show grace to anybody. And you don't even know what you're asking for. Just say, God, I need to be blessed today, or whatever. Or he just might do it without your even asking. But mercy is for sin. So God, I just committed a sin. That's what the world thinks. I just committed a sin. You're actually sinful all the time. But I just committed a sin. Could you forgive that? And of course he does, but he always does, because all sins are forgiven. It's written in the book. So he's forgiven Adolf Hitler. He's forgiven everybody demonic and bad and nasty and so on. He's forgiven all of them. Don't you think there's hope for you? Yeah, there's hope for anybody. Why? Because God isn't angry at anybody, Old Testament, New Testament. Never been angry at anybody. There's no enmity of God toward you. I don't care what you've done, what you've thought, what you've said. There's no enmity. We have enmity toward God for giving us a law that we couldn't keep. We have enmity for that. Like, God, that's not right. You said don't sin, and that you know we're going to sin. So that's not fair. But God made provision for it to say, if at any time you want to believe in Jesus, my son, you can. Or in the Old Testament, he said it this way. If you make a sin, go and get a goat. Go and get a bull. Go and get a, you know, turtle dove. Get whatever you can afford. And that was built on the economic capacity of people to afford one of those animals. So you can do any of that, and I'll forgive your sin because of the animal whose blood you shed. Now, New Testament time, he doesn't do that. He changed it to grace and mercy. He's just exercising what he did. That's, by the way, Exodus 33:19. Exodus 33:19. That's when he said, now, if I want to show grace to anyone I want to, whomever I choose, let me do that. And if I want to show, he didn't say he's going to do it through Jesus. He just said he's going to do it. If I want to show mercy to anybody who's a sinner, all they have to do is ask me for forgiveness. I'll give it to them. Free. Free. Doesn't cost a thing. It's free. Anytime you want, just pick it up. It's there. And so the minute he died, you died. The minute he rose, you rose. The minute he reigns now in heaven, you already reign now in heaven. Even though he hadn't seen you, he already knows who's his. Already can judge your heart. So he did this. The goodness of God leadeth to repentance. It leads you to repentance. What does repentance mean? Simple. Repentance doesn't mean what I said in the beginning. It doesn't mean stop what you're doing and start doing what's right. It does not mean that at all. I can prove it over and over again. It doesn't mean that. It means be happy. Be at rest. Be at peace. Don't do a thing. Don't labor. Don't burden yourself. Don't try to make up for it. Leave it. I've already forgiven it. So it means just believe. So it says, repent and believe. In other words, it's good news. Always good. Why? Because the goodness of God makes it good news. It's the goodness of God that leads to repentance, not your being sincere, not your really meaning it, not your real effort, your sacrifice you made. Because the mafia does this. I come from a mafia background. The mafia does this. When they make all their money off of gambling and prostitution and whatever, then they always make a big contribution to the Catholic Church. And suddenly they're saints. I mean, it's like, yeah, everything is forgiven. If you didn't make that big contribution, we wouldn't probably do that. But that was a big one. That was a big one. You're all right. So that is cool. So you can see why being in the mafia works well. Because they can sin all day long and then give big offerings, and you're all right. You can buy your way out of purgatory. Did you know that? Are you aware? That's how Luther 500 years ago this year, 500 years ago this year, that's how Luther 500 years ago this year, 2017, that's how he then attacked indulgences, which were a piece of paper that you bought with the Pope's signed signature on it. Piece of paper that says, if you commit any sin, this is a plenary, full forgiveness from all your sins. You don't have to go to hell. Wow, people were scurrying to buy those things. I can sin all I want. That little piece of paper right there, that's the Pope. Fallible. That is a fallible Pope. And then that's what made Luther say, no. It's not just what I believe. I got to act on this. And I'll lose my life. I'll be a heretic, and that'll be excommunicated from the church. And he's a monk. He's a doctor. He's one of their teaching doctors. He's one of the ones that's an expert. And not only that, the emperor will kill me. In other words, any man at any time can kill me on the spot. Just as they killed Jan Hus 100 years before, and before him, his mentor and teacher, John Wycliffe, in England. And since John was already dead, they dug up his bones and burned them. Those bones felt bad about that. So that that bone thing is, you know, we would have burned the guy at the stake, but he's not here, so let's burn his bones. So they dug up all the bones, literally came and dug up his grave and did it. Now that is legalism. That's legalism. And so I recommend you don't do that. Don't judge your brother, but if you do, you've always got mercy. Why? Because it's permanent. He can't withdraw it. He can't say, well, after what you did the last 3 days, I'm not doing it. He cannot say that. Once he makes a promise, he does not take it back. That's amazing. So, what leads you to repentance? Not stopping sin and starting doing what's right. That's not what. Being moral, being good, being nice, that will not get you to heaven. What gets you to heaven? What Jesus did, not what you did. What Jesus did for you, on your behalf. That's the only thing that gets you to heaven. And it happened in an obscure place in Jerusalem, on the north side of the city. It happened in that obscure place. And then when that happened, people were forgiven from that moment on. If I were God, I would do it more spectacularly than that. But he just said that death satisfied everybody. Because he was satisfied. He said, that's it. If I'm satisfied, there's peace with God. Anybody who believes is one of mine. Because they satisfied their sin by just believing on me that I was good, rather than believing on themselves that they could be good or would be good or might be good. No, I don't want that. Jesus is enough. Jesus is your righteousness. It's amazing. It's amazing that you could have a God that has never done anything wrong be your righteousness. It's perfect. He hasn't done anything wrong. And now he says, no, I'm going to take your death. So go ahead and be relatives. You'll be among the Jewish people. They'll kill you. If you tell them good news, they'll hate you and despise you. The leaders of this people will say lies. God said, they hated me without a cause. So they said that. But look, forget all that. Forget the bad guys. Forget all the bad guys in the world. They don't have anything to do with anything. It's just what you do in prayer. If you've been forgiven, forgive others. Don't judge them. If you've been loved by the goodness of God, be good to them. You're not saved because you're good. You're saved because He is your goodness and Christ in you loves them. So that's the way I treat my wife, Peggy. She's noting this. I speak the words of God to her. You're the best. You're the best. I couldn't have a better wife. I've been blessed beyond measure. How did I deserve you? Well, I didn't. But I got you anyway through trickery on my part. I tricked you. But I got the perfect wife. The perfect wife. How many know that you're married to the perfect wife you are married to? But she doesn't have to look like it. She doesn't have to act like it. She can be anything she wants to be. I've told her that. Be anything you want to be. Don't cook, don't sew, don't do anything. I don't care. Too bad for me. I love you just the way you are. I don't want you to change. If you change, that's between you and God. If you don't, I don't care. I love you anyway, just the way you are. Well, that makes you relax as a wife because you don't realize that there's pressure on a wife to be a good mother and a good, provider and all that kind of stuff. You don't have to do anything. Your husband, if he's good, if he believes in Jesus, then he's good. If he is, he just does everything for you. Isn't that neat? I mean, it's just a theory in your case, right? But in my case, it's not. It's not a theory. It's actually the truth. Why? Because the Bible says so. Well, you're just going on the Bible? Yeah, it's my only authority, Bible. I just go by the Bible. How many know that that's all God wants is you to just go by the Bible? You don't have to feel it. You don't have to understand it. I can preach all day long. It won't convince anybody unless the Holy Spirit reveals it to you. And if He does, praise God. But if He doesn't, that's okay. I preach the same thing every week. So you could come, fall asleep, and the next week it'll be the same thing. I just use different characters out of the Bible. It's the same. So if you said, and I used to have a member, he sat right where Jonathan is sitting. He used to come and he would fall asleep in that very pew that you're sitting on, right there. That's the sleep pew. He would apologize after, sorry, I fell asleep. Because church is a place of rest. Especially if you sit in those back pews. And so, and you get to look at everybody else anyway. I'm amazed that my wife can sit where she's sitting right now and know what everyone is thinking and feeling. Because she'll say afterward, well, you didn't convince so-and-so. How do you know that? I don't know how she does this. She has eyes in the back of her head. The children always thought that about her. She knew what they were doing no matter where they are. All right. So is God good? Yes. What leads you to repentance? It's not because you feel bad about what you did. It's not because there's condemnation on you and you're scared. It's only because Jesus loved you, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's it. So it's the goodness of God. Everybody has the wrong idea. I know they do. I've read all the books. They mean stop smoking, stop chewing, stop, you know, blah, blah. All those things. That's not what God wants. What he wants you to do is nothing. Why? Because apart from me, you can do nothing. So he wants you to do exactly who you are. Nothing. Why? So everything in this world is a gift of God. Everything in this world is a gift of God. You thought you earned it. You thought, I just did this. But as a believer, you learn you didn't do anything. The same worker that worked 8 hours a day got paid the same as the one that worked 1 hour a day. Why? Because both were gifts of God. Neither of them did any work. They did not do the kingdom of God. They did not do what God wanted. So doing the harvest, you don't take it in. Angels do, by the way. Angels do the harvest. At the end of time, the angels will come down and scoop up the bad, bind them in bundles, burn them. Lake of fire. And the righteous, what do you do with them? You go to heaven. Get on the cloud, ride up. That's it. And so everything you do is nothing. Your husband does it all, Jesus. Jesus does everything for the bride. We're the bride. You're the bride. You are the bride of Christ. Did you know that? You're the bride of Christ. Male, female, doesn't make any difference. You are the bride of Christ, and they're also called sons of God. So it kind of makes it even. If women are sons of God and men are bride of Christ, because God is really not interested in male and female kind of thing except in this world. But in heaven, it'll be different. In heaven, you don't have to do those categories. Smart, young, male, female, you know, this, that. He doesn't care about those things. The only thing that matters is his word. Everything he said he's going to do, he is going to do in time, not after time. Everything he said, that's a promise. But after that, it's all promise. Because you don't even know what the new heaven and new earth is like. Nobody here has ever been to heaven. I know people write books about that. I went to heaven and no. I don't say they're not true. I've never been there, so I can't compare it to anything. I just don't believe that. I believe everything in the Bible that you need for salvation is written down. I don't believe there's anything more you need. You don't need a miracle. You don't need the Shroud of Turin. You don't need anything to go to heaven. You just need the Word of God. So it's not that I'm not saying it's true or not true. I don't even care about it. Whatever is in the Bible, that's what I'm going on, period. Sola fide, only faith. Sola gratia, only grace. Solus Christus, only Christ. So, sola scriptura, only the Bible. That's what made the Reformation 500 years ago this year, in another month or so. That's what made it, is those words. Why? Because Luther would not be convinced by popes or councils or bureaucrats or anything else. He said they all disagree with one another. They all excommunicate one another. I don't trust them. Because which one would I trust? None of them. So I trust the Bible. That's why they killed him. But they didn't. They wanted to. They didn't. He was an outlaw. Could be killed by anybody at any time. The emperor never changed his mind on that. But not only did he live, he created the modern world. This is the world you're now losing, even here in Texas. You're losing it everywhere. But Texans might fight back. We might draw a line in the sand and say, nah, we're not going to do that. And if that's the case, you'd have to win that. You'd have to earn that. But it might be the case if God wants it. It won't be the case if he doesn't want it. We can suffer. I don't mind suffering. I'm ready to die physically for what I believe. I'm ready to die psychologically for what I believe. I'm ready to die on anything. Why? God said so. He said, if you're a believer, you're not afraid. Perfect love casts out all fear. If perfect love casts out all fear, I'm not afraid. That's why I go all over the world without fear. I go in places you're not supposed to go. Why? Because I don't have any fear. Why? I don't know. It's just God said it, I do it. So if you haven't heard him, don't. If you haven't heard him, don't do it. But anytime you've heard God to do something, just go ahead and do it. Well, what if you're wrong? Well, you just die, rise again. But what if you're not wrong? I mean, it's better to be faithful than it is to be right. I'm going to say that again. It's better to be faithful for what you thought God said than to be right about it. You're not always right. Only God does that. But you're faithful, at least he'll say, well, nice try. But I'm looking at your heart. He looks at your heart. He looks only at your heart. Doesn't look at your behavior. You already take care of that. That was taken care of. You don't have to be afraid of death. There is therefore now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath set me free from the law of sin and death. Well, so there it is. You will not ever suffer anything in this world. And what you do, don't worry about it. It's only to perfect you. Even suffering in this world doesn't hurt you. How many here have suffered? Yes, everybody. Everybody here has suffered. This is suffering in the Bible. It's not being poor and so on. Suffering is you see heaven, and yet when you look around, you don't see heaven. That's suffering. Suffering is that I see the reality God's speaking about, but when I look here on earth, I don't see it here. Because he hasn't come back again. But we do have this. We have faith right now. And by faith, everyone here can make it to heaven. Just by faith. And if you die only with your faith, but you believe Jesus is coming back someday, but you're not here to enjoy it, no problem. It's not a problem at all. Faith is good enough. As a matter of fact, you can't do it without faith. You can't actually see into heaven. You will find no security in this world. You'll find all the certainty in that word. You'll find no security in this world. And if you try, you'll lose. Anyone who's thought, if I'm wealthy enough, I'll be happy. No, you won't. If I know enough, I'll be happy. If I have experiences from God, I'll be happy. They won't do it. The only thing that makes you happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. The certainty of that word is your whole joy. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, etc. Faith, meekness, self-control. All nine fruits of the Spirit. All nine fruits of the Spirit. Who is that? That's just Jesus. That's just Jesus because you're in a relationship to him. So no matter, it's not unusual that he shows up in our lives. Right now, someone could be convicted and be healed. Just like the man this morning. He was healed during singing that song. He completely experienced, total release. Anybody at any time can experience anything of God, but I wouldn't look for it. I just keep my eyes on Jesus. I just keep believing the word. I exalt my word even above my name. If God does that, it's obviously for you. It's not for turtles. It's not for grasshoppers. It's not for bushes. That word is for us. So everything in the Bible is written about God. You wouldn't even know about God except for the Word. That's why he wrote it down. He had it written, inspired by the Holy Spirit, written down, and only the Holy Spirit knows what he wrote. So you have to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you when you read it. Otherwise, you'll read it and get misunderstanding, like the word repent. Repent means always be happy. I can say it in 1,000 ways. It means always be hopeful, because it's good. Whatever it is, it's good. I don't care what it is, it's good. In other words, always be happy all the time. How? Because I trust in God. I trust in his word. Do I understand it? Nah, not really. Does pastor's sermons clear it up? Not really. But they, you know, they might do a little bit. But really, you can't get all of your teaching out of the pastor. You have to go home and read the Bible for yourself. If you just rely on me, you're sunk. You're sunk because I don't know everything about everything. I don't know all the Hebrew words and all the Greek words and all the Latin words. I don't know all of them. I know a lot, but not enough. And nobody does. Nobody ever will. Because it all boils down to this. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Period. Jesus loves me. This I know. How do you know? Because the Bible tells me so. That's it. I mean, there isn't anything more. No theologian can ever, ever, ever go more than that little song. And a little two-year-old can sing that. Jesus loves me, yes, I know. You know, they don't have to say it right. They don't have to do anything. But they're happy in the back seat of the car. That was before you had seats. Now you have to have those. But anyway, little kids used to be at the back singing at the top of their lungs. How do you learn that? The teacher taught us this. So they just sing it because it makes them happy. That's enough. That's enough. That's happiness. Happiness is trusting in the Lord. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. Happy is the man that, you know, God doesn't count your sins against you. Happy is anyone that believes in the good news. Goodness of God leads to repentance. Wow. So how do you move from these chairs? If you move from chair 3 to chair 7, you've got everything you need. This chair 7, this is the bride that is ready for when Jesus comes back. This is how you get there. Repent. Of course, it's followed by chair 4, 5, and 6, which aren't there. But you don't need them. You just need to repent. What is it? Good news. It's always good. What leads you to repentance? Bad things happening. That doesn't lead to repentance. Having a good brain. That doesn't lead it. Getting a new job. You know, those they won't do it. The only thing that does it is reading the Bible. So you can buy these Bibles. I don't know if you know that. You can buy them. And some people have 2. And I know one person has 3. Me. I have a lot of Bibles. Why? Because I wear them out. And if this one didn't have so much scotch tape to it, holding everything together, I'd buy another one. But I have all my notes in there. So the best is yet to come. So I hope you were blessed today. I hope you were blessed immeasurably. Did anyone today, would everyone like to say thank you? That was powerful, Jesus. Yeah, that was powerful, Jesus. Right. But you also might have been touched. If you were, just go ahead and make a testimony. Hey, that goodness of God, I like that. I like that idea that God is good and he's always good. He never can be bad. He's never been bad. He can't lie. Let God be true and every man a liar. He can't lie. What he says is true, and I'm banking my life on it. How can you do that? Put all your eggs in one basket. Yep. All my eggs in one basket. I don't care about my knowledge. I don't care about anything. I don't have anything going for me. I only have one agenda. Know Jesus. I just want to know Jesus. I want to know him by reading his word, because he exalts his word above his name. And we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's what I want, all that. I want everything he's promised. I want it. And all I need to know, and it only takes 2 seconds to do this. You can become a Christian that quick.